The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, friends. Hello, lovers. Hello, people of interest. It's your old pal, Tom Rhodes. And welcome to Tom Rhodes Radio Smart Camp. It is May 31st, 2018. The last day of May. The sun is setting. I was supposed to put out a podcast a couple days ago, but my guest canceled on me. That's something that happens in Los Angeles. People flake. You got plans, and they flake on you. Another nice thing that happens in Los Angeles is people unexpectedly invite you to cool things at the last minute. Last night, a good friend of mine invited me to go to Dodger Stadium, and I got to sit in the greatest... I've been to Dodger Stadium probably 30 times in my life, and I have never sat in seats as cool as I sat in last night. I was like five rows behind home plate, and something I never knew, those seats right behind home plate, there's underneath the seating is a rich people, fancy, all-you-can-eat buffet, and you can stuff yourself like crazy. These seats, I think they're like $250 each or something. Got to gorge myself on Italian sausages and all kinds of other lovely snacks. And I watched, it was a great game too. The Dodgers beat the shit out of the Philadelphia Phillies 10-2. And then I posted a picture today of my view of the game. And somebody, a friend of mine back in Florida, wrote me and said that the pitcher for the Phillies, the starting pitcher, actually went to Oviedo High School, my high school. So that guy got shelled. It was a great game, man. There was lots of hits, lots of action. And even though I'm a Giants fan, I enjoyed the shit out of going to Dodger Stadium. And I wanted to go to, and it was bobblehead night. Everybody knows how much I love bobbleheads. I wanted to go to a baseball game because I am seething with anticipation for the World Cup to start. And once the World Cup starts, I am going to think of nothing but World Cup soccer. And mark my words, it's going to be really interesting because it's in Russia. I think this is going to be, for Vladimir Putin, what the 1936 Olympics in Berlin were for Hitler. I think it's going to be a grand pageantry of Russian excellence and showing off the country and what a swell guy he is. Maybe he'll ride a horse across a field without a shirt on. We never know. Oh, and I'm not a gambling man at all, but 2 weeks ago when I was in Las Vegas, I put some money down. I'll elaborate when the World Cup gets here. But I made a bet on Argentina, France, and Portugal. I'll tell you, I'm not a gambler, but I thought, you know, what the hell? I'll get really super involved in it. And I'll tell you what a dork I am. I've already bought my Argentina jersey. So I'm going to be flipping out for my mother's home country. Speaking of my mother just visited me this past week. Oh, and I want to give a shout out, before I go into my mom's story, I want to give a shout out to the Golden Buddha Patreon, generous benefactor to the podcast, I won't say his name, who came to see me in Lake Tahoe last week. One of the highlights of my year, after the show, I got to hang out with him and talk deeply with him about his life. You know, it's funny, Ashna always says to me, you know, listen more, be curious, talk to people. And it really has its benefits, man. You know, like when I'm going out to the comedy store or going to clubs, you know, Ashna's great. She'll remind me, you know, to work on new material. You go to the comedy store not to impress the audience. You play at the comedy store to impress other comedians with doing new shit, doing inventive shit, doing brilliant shit. So also when I walk out the door, normally Ashna tells me, you know, listen more, be curious, ask people questions. So hanging out with this golden Buddha in Lake Tahoe, I was asking him questions about his life. And I thought I knew this person, but I had no idea the many trials and tribulations that he had been through in his life. And I remember when I read Bob Dylan's Chronicles, the book that he wrote, he said, be nice to everyone you meet because everyone is fighting their own battles. So wherever you're at in the world, people, I know you're fighting a battle. I'm fighting a battle. And, you know, keep your chin up, kid. It's all going to work out in the end. Supposedly. I don't know. Maybe it won't. Maybe we'll all be homeless together in San Diego or some other warm climate. So what a week I had. My mother visited me and, you know, my mother is the only person I, love more than my wife. And, the time with her goes by so quick and we did some great things. I got snappy. I made a couple of, you know, sharp comments about Trump. You know, it's just, it's hard not to get agitated, over this shit, but you know, now my mom's gone. It's like, God, why did I say some stupid shit about Trump and infringe on our wonderful time together? One of the main nice things that I did for my mom. So my mom, you know, hardcore Christian Republican, voted for Trump proudly. I took my mom to the Ronald Reagan Library. We rented a car and went out there. And one of the main reasons that I wanted to go to the Reagan Library was because they were having the biggest Genghis Khan exhibit ever to hit the United States. And I guess it's safe to say I'm a Genghis Khan freak since I read his biography before I went to Mongolia. And, you know, I'm in love with Mongolia. You know, I think that my favorite places, like great adventures I've taken in my life, Peru, New Zealand, and Mongolia. I'm going to go back to do dates in China and Asia in... I'm going to do Tokyo and Shanghai. I'm working on the dates in August right now. And I've been communicating with UB Comedy Club. UB is short for Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. And the Mongolians call it UB City for short. And the comedy club is UB Comedy Club. So I'm going to try and slip back up to Mongolia for a couple days. And my mom, you know, the Reagan Library, you know, it's great. Ronald Reagan was, you know, he made some mistakes, but, you know, what, he fired all the air traffic controllers when they went on strike. He ended some funding that poured all kinds of crazy people onto the streets, forced them out of hospitals and, you know, the homeless numbers rose during the Reagan years. But I remember, you know, it was a time, what was he, president, 80 to 88? I remember the you know, the shitty feeling America had after Vietnam and low self-esteem after the Iranian hostage crisis. And Reagan made Americans feel good about being American again. And people criticize him for being an actor, but, you know, man, he could give great speeches. He could talk about, you know, the great days ahead for the United States. And I loved Reagan. Ronald Reagan was president when I started doing stand-up comedy. And You know, even though he's the only Republican president I've ever been a fan of, there were reasons. The guy, he was charismatic. I liked the love story he had with his wife, Nancy Reagan, who purportedly, this is a common fact you may not know, but Nancy Reagan, when she was single and an actress in Hollywood, apparently gave the greatest blowjob in Hollywood. I've heard that from innumerable sources, and I always secretly thought that was why Ronald Reagan was probably always smiling in such a great mood. But it's a great museum if you ever have a chance to go. It's in Simi Valley, California, which is famous for acquitting the cops who beat up Rodney King that started the Los Angeles riots. But yeah, and it's suburban. It's way out there. It's like an hour from Central Hollywood, where I live, West Hollywood, and it's cool, man. You know, it was an assassination attempt on his life, and they got the suit that they cut away to get at the bullet wound that he had. I remember it was funny when he went into the doctor's after the assassination attempt. The famous quote was, he looked up at the doctors and he said, "I sure hope you're all Republican." You know, the guy was popping off funny lines. One of the coolest things at the Reagan Library, they have in a glass case these big index cards that he kept. For years, he would write down funny stories and jokes about, or that he could use in speeches. And this was long before he got into politics. And then he used it all throughout his political career and as president. I think that was another reason why I liked him. He was always popping off funny lines. Like, there was one line, it was a video, you know, him and Gorbachev became friends and they reduced the nuclear missiles. They had a treaty, and there was some story he told that apparently Gorbachev thought was hilarious. He said that he loves living in America because anyone can walk into the president's office and bang their fist on the table and say, "Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running this country." And in Russia, it's the same story, that anyone in the country can walk into the Oval Office and bang on the desk and say, "Mr. Reagan, I don't like the way you're running the country." So, ha, 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 ha. Chuckle. It was Gorbachev's favorite joke, that Americans can express their unhappiness with the country, but Russians could not do the same. So it's a cool, the Reagan Library is awesome. You know, it's funny, I posted some pictures of the Reagan of the visit. You know, it's like 2 years ago when I met Mike Tyson. I remember I posted pictures on Facebook, and it was funny. And a few of them were like English comedians who I'm friends with, left these comments like, "How dare you take a picture with a rapist?" And I wrote them privately back and said, "I think the guy did his prison term. I think he paid his debt to society." So a couple people left shitty comments on the fact that I was at the Reagan Library. Like, warmonger, and Reagan did this and did that. And it's like, hey, you know, can we just have a fucking nice day with our Republican mom, taking her to something she would enjoy? Hey, I'll give you full disclosure. I went to the Reagan Library before, about 10 years ago, and I bought the presidential glass jar that held his Jelly Belly jelly beans. The greatest jelly bean in the world, which I discovered when Ronald Reagan was president. He put that jelly bean company on the map, baby. Because before that, jelly beans were like bland and sugary and tasted like shit, other than the licorice black one, which tasted like double shit. Jelly Belly jelly beans had vibrant, delicious flavors. The peach tasted like peach. And I used to do a stupid joke about pussy flavored jelly beans, but that was the more immature Tom Rhodes. But it was exalting their ability to make flavors out of anything. Like they did a Harry Potter series of snot flavored jelly beans and vomit flavored jelly beans. So it's within their powers. But anyway, so then the big star attraction for me, the reason why I wanted to go there, was this Genghis Khan exhibit. And it was an excellent exhibit. It was not anything new information, really, for me, because I had read his biography before. From Genghis Khan and the ancient Mongolians, we got the word hooray. The Mongolians would yell it in celebration, or they would say it at the end of prayers to the eternal blue sky. That's was their god, and their afterlife was the eternal blue sky. So hooray comes from Genghis Khan and ancient Mongolians, as does pants and jackets. In whatever the, what was it, the 13th century, the 12th century, when he was riding and conquering the world, Europeans all wore robes, and we got pants from the ancient Mongolians. They did so many cool things. There was a quote on the wall of the exhibit. Your God, I am the wrath of God, and if you had not displeased God, he would not have sent me here. That's what Genghis Khan told all these religious people when he would come and conquer their lands. And Genghis Khan, they didn't like summer months because their arrows were not as accurate as they were in the crisp, cold weather. And they loved the cold weather because they could just roll right over rivers and moats. And it was pretty awesome. So it was great. And my mom got the Genghis Khan fever also after going to this exhibit. And the biography that I read, my mom started reading it. And then also, we started watching Marco Polo together, which I saw like 2 years ago. I binged watched it. And it was cool. My mom, you know, learned the modern phenomenon of binge watching. Because like when I watched it 2 years ago, she couldn't stop watching it. And then so I sat down, I watched a lot of it with her. And it's a lot of sex and a lot of violence. And, you know, my mom, like most mothers of a certain age, wakes up at the crack of dawn. And quietly, when I would wake up, she'd be quietly reading the Genghis Khan book. So I want to read this little highlight that I highlighted from the Genghis Khan and Making of the Modern World by Jack Weatherford. And if you want the full Genghis Khan episode, I did an episode last year called Genghis Tom that's all about this book and Genghis Khan and my trip to Mongolia. So this is from page 172. I think, and my mom found this amusing also. The Mongols loved competitions of all sorts, and they organized debates among rival religions the same way they organized wrestling matches. It began on a specific date with a panel of judges to oversee it. In this case, Mongki Khan ordered them to debate before three judges, a Christian, a Muslim, and a Buddhist. A large audience assembled to watch the affair, which began with great seriousness and formality. An official laid down the strict rules by which Mongki wanted the debate to proceed on pain of death. No one shall dare to speak words of contention. So you couldn't be shitty to each other. Rubruk, whoever that is, I don't know. It's been a while since I read the book. Rubruk and the other Christians joined together in one team with the Muslims in an effort to refute the Buddhist doctrines. Hey, Christians and Muslims got together at one point in history. As these men gathered together In all their robes and regalia, in the tents on the dusty plains of Mongolia, they were doing something that no other set of scholars or theologians had ever done in history. It is doubtful that representatives of so many types of Christianity had come to a single meeting, and certainly they had not debated as equals with representatives of the various Muslim and Buddhist faiths. The religious scholars had to compete on the basis of their beliefs and ideas, using no weapons or the authority of any ruler or army behind them. They could use only words and logic to test the ability of their ideas to persuade. Their debate ranged back and forth over the topics of evil versus good, God's nature, what happens to the souls of animals, the existence of reincarnation, and whether God had created evil. Still the questions people wonder about today. As they debated, the clerics formed shifting coalitions among the various religions, according to the topic. Between each round of wrestling, Mongol athletes would drink fermented mare's milk. In keeping with that tradition, after each round of the debate, the learned men paused to drink deeply in preparation for the next match. So they're sipping on mare's milk between the rounds of debates. No side seemed to convince the other of anything. Finally, as the effects of the alcohol became stronger, the Christians gave up trying to persuade anyone with logical arguments and resorted to singing. The Muslims, who did not sing, responded by loudly reciting the Quran in an effort to drown out the Christians, and the Buddhists retreated into silent meditation. At the end of the debate, unable to convert or kill anyone, they concluded the way most Mongol celebrations concluded, with everyone simply too drunk to continue. I love that. Oh, I'm going to take a sip of my Bengal spice herbal tea. Ah, yes. Another big event that happened for me last week was I'm 51 years old. I should have gotten this done last year at 50. And just 2 days ago in the news, it came out that now it's recommended that people have this done at 40 years old. I got my very first colonoscopy. And I was a little nervous about it, you know. No man is ever excited about having instruments stuck up his asshole. But I was very happy that my mom was here. You know, my mother and I disagree politically on many things, but I was very happy to have my mommy with me to go while I had this medical procedure. I mean, she wasn't in the room. She was there up until I got the anesthesia. It's funny, the anesthesiologist, I couldn't imagine being a job you couldn't spell. The anesthesiologist, right before he gave me the shot, said that I'm going to give you propofol. You may have heard of this because this is the stuff that killed Michael Jackson. And I said, hey, buddy, I want the stuff that killed Prince. And he said, don't worry, this is also the stuff that killed Prince. So I can tell you, propofol is a pretty damn nice feeling. You know, I stopped doing heavy narcotics. So it was, you know, boom, you're out. And then you wake up clean and fresh. And the procedure was over. They get in there, they stick something in there. And she sliced off polyps. So I now have a clean butthole. I can eat as much red meat as I want. Yay. It was interesting. The doctor, after the procedure, came in and talked to me and gave me photos of my colon, the inside of my colon. I got like 20 different pictures. She showed me what was done and that I have a clean colon. So it's interesting that I now have these 20 photos of my colon. So, you know, what do you do with that? I made it my Facebook profile picture. So if you want to see what the inside of my butthole looks like, send me a friend request. Hey, I'm kidding. And hey, I, you know, I should point out, I have to thank the late, great John Fox, who died of colon cancer, and all he did was eat hot dogs and sausages and red meat. And I remember when he was dying, he was like, this wouldn't have happened if he made videos and put them on YouTube that said, this wouldn't have happened if I would have just gone and had a colonoscopy in my early 50s. So it's important, everybody. They're saying do it at 40 now. Definitely do it when you're 50. I chickened out and waited an extra year, but go have your colon looked at. And then you can feel good about eating whatever the fuck you want. So, a massive week. The news this week, everybody knows, Roseanne went on. You know, I'm liking tweet. I don't tweet. It's been a few years since I tried to like be clever on Twitter, and you know, stupid people making stupid comments. I don't see much joy in Twitter, and the fact that it's kind of a bully forum. You know, that Trump can say all these shitty things, and his followers love it. And I just don't see putting that much effort into it. And so Roseanne kind of killed her career. You know the story. Everybody knows it now. It happened 2 days ago. Tweets in the middle of the night. A bunch of nasty shit. First she was tweeting about Chelsea Clinton. Her middle name is Soros. And something about this guy Soros. She's into all these alt-right, you know, deep conspiracy theories about Nazis and Democratic pedophile Hollywood, you know, child sex rings and all this really bizarre shit. I mean, I follow Roseanne on Twitter, and you know, through the years, I've seen her like, I seem to remember. Years ago, she was like tweeting anti-Israel stuff, and then now she's like hardcore pro-Israel, and so I don't know what the Soros thing is. I read it a couple days ago, and it's escaped my mind that he's a Holocaust denier. He's doing something anti-Israel. It's just really bizarre. Like Roseanne. So she tweeted that this African American woman, Valerie something Jarrett, who was a Obama advisor, was it Muslim Brotherhood plus Planet of the Apes equals VJ, was the tweet that made her lose everything. And then she came out and she said that she was on Ambien, which is hilarious. And I love that the drug maker of Ambien came out and said there are Ambien has side effects, but racism is not one of them. It's just really interesting to me that somebody with that much money and that much success would sit there and tweet racist shit. And you know, it's the most disgusting and obvious racist thing. Like, no one can dispute. I mean, even Fox News commentators I was reading, like Sean Hannity and those people, were even saying, whoa, that's over the fucking line. That basically, in essence, she was comparing this woman to an ape. And to ever comment that a black person and to use, you know, the comparison of an ape is the most insulting and offensive thing anyone could ever say. I was talking with Ashna about this. I think most of you know that I'm a Washington Redskins fan because I was born in Washington, D.C. I remember in the 80s, I was like 13, 14. I was young, and the 80s was not a culturally sensitive period in American history. You know, Eddie Murphy, the Delirious is a classic comedy special, but he says faggot on there 9 million times, and he's making all these horrendous gay jokes and stuff. It was not a culturally sensitive period, but I was watching the Washington Redskins play Monday Night Football, and it was one of the famous anchors of Monday Night Football. One of my favorite players, Daryl Green, as I remember, memory plays tricks. It might have been a different player, but in my mind, it was Daryl Green, who was one of my favorite players on my favorite team, the Washington Redskins. He catches a pass and he breaks free, and he's breaking away, and he's running down the field to score a touchdown. And the announcer said, "Whoa, look at that little monkey run." And I remember, even as a young, uncouth, uneducated, unworldly person, sitting in Oviedo, Florida, I remember, turning to whoever I was with saying, "Oh my God, he just called that man a monkey." So even then in the 80s, as a young guy, I knew, oh my God, that's like fucking the hugest, grossest violation you could ever call another human being. Even if it wasn't my favorite player on my favorite team. And that guy, I don't think it wasn't Howard Cosell. I can't remember. And heaven forbid I do any research for this podcast. That sports announcer lost his job in the 80s for saying that. So I think, and all these people are, right-wing people are saying, oh, it's freedom of speech and First Amendment. And then Samantha Bee yesterday called Ivanka Trump the C word. The C word and the N word I try never to ever use. It's just, it ain't cool. So all these like right-wing pundits are like, oh, Samantha Bee should lose her job. And, maybe she should. She's on TBS. And TBS, the Ted Turner Broadcasting Station, I grew up with in the South. I mean, they gained their empire from the Andy Griffith Show reruns and reruns of the Beverly Hillbillies. So obviously they've got a conservative audience, or used to anyway. But, I think Roseanne really blew it because, I read that it was only that first episode of this new season that had 18 million viewers that brought up Trump and saying she voted for him because he was talking about jobs. And it's funny, like 20 years ago, Roseanne was a total lefty and she was a hard ass punching to the right. So it's funny that now she's like this hardcore right Trump supporter. It's got to be, a love of money. But what I was going to say is, for the last 20 years, the original Roseanne ran for 9 seasons. And for the last 20 years, Roseanne has lived on a macadamia nut farm in Hawaii. So why is this person with all this money that angry? It was like when Michael Richards went off at the Laugh Factory and he said the N-word to these people, and then, he was banned from that club and everything. And I remember thinking then, why is this guy with $50 million in the bank attacking people? Why is he so angry? But, I saw Michael Richards at the Laugh Factory a ton of times. He wasn't funny, and those young men who were heckling him were correct. He wasn't funny. And then he exploded on this N-word tirade. So I don't know who Roseanne thinks she is, that she's going to get away with the most grotesquely horrific moniker you could ever give an African-American or any black person to compare them to an ape. So stupid. But, the thing about that show that, you know, she's a Trump supporter, and then Lori Metcalf is her sister, who's a left-wing person. You know, the missed opportunity in the world right now, not that she could have brought America together, but at the very least, she could have shown families how to talk to each other. Because, you know, a lot of people are divided now. You know, I haven't spoken to my brother John since 2015. When he was violently punching me in the chest, yelling, "You voted for Obama. Obama is ruining this country." It just, that show, not that I ever would have watched it, but it could have helped people to show how to have conversations, people who disagree with one another. So, you know, I'm kind of happy she lost her job. I think it was fucking stupid. And people should know better than to be mean and shitty. I think it all comes down to manners. I've said this many times on this podcast. It's bad manners. And that is the thing that probably irritates me the most, more than anything. And especially if you're filthy rich and you've been living on a macadamia nut farm in Hawaii for the last 20 years. Hey, listen, I'm going to cut this short now because Ashna and I are going to run over to the Grove and go see Solo, the new Star Wars movie. So I'll come back and I'll tell you about it. But yeah, so you saw Up My Butthole. We talked about Roseanne and we talked about Genghis Khan in the Reagan Library. I think we're up to speed for the moment. Okay, shalom amigos, e amigos. We'll be right back with some Star Wars talk. Hooray for Danny Glover. And we are back. Hey, so before I tell you what I thought about Han Solo, or the Solo Star Wars movie, there's just a couple last things I wanted to say about the whole Roseanne Barr, Samantha Bee thing. You know, Samantha Bee calling Ivanka Trump, she said she was admonishing her for not doing more to influence her father. So Samantha Bee said, "Why don't you do something, you feckless cunt?" She said the C word. Now, you know, the scandal with Roseanne Barr, you know, you can absolutely never call a black person an ape or a monkey or anything like that. Everyone knows that unless you just arrived on planet Earth from a time machine from 1892. I mean, that is just like, boom. You know, can one joke like ruin a career? And my argument is that wasn't a joke. That was a flat out insult. The worst thing you could say. Samantha Bee also was not making a joke. She basically was just calling Ivanka Trump the C word. And I don't think Samantha Bee should lose her job because she called Ivanka Trump a cunt. I think she should lose her job because she used the word feckless. The Webster's Dictionary, I mean, like, English people say feckless. Americans don't say that. You're on an American television network. The Andy Griffith Beverly Hillbillies, NASCAR, TBS network, in fact. Probably the first time feckless has ever been used on that network. So according to the Webster's app on my phone, feckless means weak, ineffective, worthless, irresponsible. You know, basically she's just calling her the worst thing you could call a woman. And you know, that's not humor, calling people names. So, like, you know, if Samantha Bee lost her job over that, it's kind of understandable. I like Samantha Bee. I like that she's a tough woman and she's, like, kicking ass with all this political stuff. But, you know, it's pretty cowardly to make fun of the family or the children of the president. You know, like the Donald Trump Jr. and the other kind of sleazy son, they're kind of like sleazy characters. They almost seem like It's like the Donald Duck, rich, Scrooge McDuck, and he's like the sleazy little rich sons. But like, you know, I mean, they kind of present themselves as open to ridicule. Ivanka Trump, I don't know. It's just kind of cowardly to make fun of. You know, we're allowed to make fun of the president and political leaders and things like that, but to attack people's families, I think is pretty chicken shit and pretty cowardly. So I like Samantha Bee, but you know, the big scandal of you know, it's with Roseanne Barr, it's just like name calling, and it's like that's not comedy. And again, Roseanne Barr has spent the last 20 years living on a macadamia nut farm in Hawaii. What is she so pissed off about? And racism is a deal breaker, you know, any way you slice it. So that's basically what I wanted to say. It's not funny. And you know, anytime you're going to use those words, someone's feelings are going to get hurt. So, Roseanne Barr made probably one of the greatest blunders in show business history, by fucking things up, with her exposed racism. It came out. So, Samantha Bee, it can be argued that it was a moment of anger, but still, you know, name calling on a comedy show? That's not comedy. It's some cowardly bullshit. Okay, so that's probably a good enough segue to go into my review of Solo, the new Star Wars movie. Ashna and I just got back, and wow, whew, pretty boring, pretty slow. The only reason I went to see it was because of Danny Glover. If he wasn't in it, I probably wouldn't have seen it. Danny Glover, I love the guy. You know, he's done stand-up. He released this amazing soul R&B album under the name of Childish Gambino. The show Atlanta is amazing. I love the first season. I haven't seen the second season. So he's kind of like, you know, I feel related to him because he's like, he started as a comedian. And he's kind of like the wonder story of show business now, the whiz kid, the impresario in so many different fields. So Solo, Star Wars, I'd say you could skip it unless you're a big Danny Glover fan like I am. It started really slow. I was surprised to find out at the end that Ron Howard had directed the film. It's really dark in the beginning, and then there's this scene where they're on a train outside, like a cargo train, and it's winter. And it made me think of, there was a John Voight movie in the 80s where they were on a train in the snow. And Kiss of the Spider-Woman? That was like a prison movie. It was around that same period. I can't think of the title. But obviously, that was influenced. There's a character in the beginning where, I don't know, is he a mouse? Is he a hamster? He's like a co-pilot. You know, there's so many things are predictable in a Star Wars movie now. That character's introduced. I'm thinking, oh, that's only to introduce a new toy, a marketable character, kind of like the Jar Jar Binks disaster of Star Wars bad characters. And everything was predictable. I didn't feel any warm feeling from the star. Danny Glover, finally, when he pops up, he's great, you know, but they're playing cards. There's a few different scenes in, like, bars where they're, you know, we got to recreate the crazy alien futuristic monster people of the first one. And so many times, every Star Wars movie I've ever seen, I'm always somewhere in the back of my head thinking, God, I wish I was watching the original instead of this. There's a moment where Woody Harrelson is playing chess with Chewbacca, and it's the same chessboard and the same monster killing the other monster on the chessboard that happened in the very first episode. And Woody Harrelson, this is like the fourth or fifth movie now where he's popped up. I guess that's his role now. He's the bad guy, the grizzled old evil guy you can't trust who's, you know, doing everything on a, you know, like he was the bad guy in that Planet of the Apes movie that was so terrible. Was it Battle of the Apes? Something like that. Last summer? 2 summers ago? Something like that. But yeah, he's in all these movies now, and he's basically playing the same character. I like the British woman. The bad guy, the evil guy is great. I like the evil guy. He's got red lines on his face. I don't know, he's a British actor, but I liked him because he had a cape. And I like the Danny Glover character because he had many capes. And he's smooth. And the English girl, I liked her presence. She was great. The Marauders, the British girl with freckles who pops up at the end, she was also great. But other than that, I thought everything's predictable and it was kind of a sleeper. And I suggest that you can skip this one. So that's the Tom Rhodes Radio Smart Camp review. Danny Glover, if you haven't seen that video he made, This Is America, I like this guy. And I think, aside from those things I said, like the guy's an artist. He's expressing himself. Like Atlanta's so great because guy's trying to be a rapper and the cousin is his manager. You know, it's really like it's a window on life, imaginative life, creative life in Atlanta. So the video he made himself called This Is America is a statement against gun violence in America. And he's dancing without a shirt. And then there's a choir. And there's some shootings in it that are pretty brutal. And he's just making the statement that that's life in America right now. So I love that guy so much. It made me go see the Star Wars film. Hold on a second. We're about to wrap this up. I'm going to walk the microphone into the other room. Ashna is making some late night food. And I'm going on the road, ladies and gentlemen. I got some dates to promote. It's almost, just a couple minutes before June 1st now. June 1st, I'm in Tacoma, Washington at the Tacoma Comedy Club. And then June 2nd and 3rd, I am at I'm in Spokane. I guess it's the Spokane Comedy Club. June 7th through 9th, I'm in Glendale, Arizona at a comedy club, new comedy club, called Stir Crazy. And then I'm going to be home in Los Angeles doing sets the 11th through the 24th, and I'm going to be going crazy over the World Cup. If anybody wants to buy me a Portugal jersey, the home jersey, large, or the Senegal home jersey, large, please feel free. I don't think our budget and my wife would allow such an indulgence, but Senegal, the home jersey with the lion on it, is the coolest jersey in the World Cup. Mark my words. I'll be talking a lot about the World Cup in a couple weeks, so brace yourself. I like any sport with cleats running on grass, basically. And I love when countries are playing each other in the World Cup. June 28th through the 30th, I'm going to be in Philadelphia at the brand new Punchline Comedy Club, brought to you by our good friends in San Francisco of the San Francisco Punchline. It's pretty important for me going back to Philadelphia because this is the first time I have been back in Philadelphia since my life was changed 4 years ago when I blacked out drunk in Philadelphia and fell off the bar stool and busted my head wide open. So this will be my first sober Philadelphia. It's going to be exciting. And before I wrap it up, Ashna, did you have any last thoughts on Solo Star Wars?
No, I just thought it was a boring movie.
It was boring. And you actually wanted to leave.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's Ashna's review. And thanks for listening to Tom Rhodes Radio Smart Camp. And shalom, amigos. E amigas.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.